Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're broadcasting live on YouTube right now. We're back on YouTube for another 30 days. Praise the Lord. And we want to invite everybody to go to our YouTube channel, which is New Wine Ministry, that's singular, Ministry TV. So if you go to YouTube, you type in New Wine Ministry TV, you'll see that we're on live right now. So you're welcome to watch us as we get through our broadcast today and every other day this week. Lord willing, we'll be with all of you. And then, of course, we're broadcasting live on Omega Radio. That's www.omegaradio.org. And we are also broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. And I want to make sure that I get these different outlets to you for a particular reason. And that reason is simply that you could get the information out to others and share it and have people join with us as we go through these radio broadcasts. And so once again, we are broadcasting live on YouTube right now, and it's a good morning to everybody out there. And we had normally have friends from Colorado, California, and on the East Coast as well that show up. And for those of you that are watching or listening on YouTube, you could always chat with me, and I'm running the whole booth here. So if you have some things you'd like to share or comments you'd like to make, we'd like to invite you. I want to say hello to shout out a hello to my brother on the West Coast, Mark Anderson, Thoth, my brother. He's got some of the most unique, interesting things to say. I want to say hello to Art out in Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Art, Idaho. God bless you. And to all the others that are out there listening to this broadcast, welcome to this December 30th, 2019. We're 2 days away from the beginning of a new year in the Gregorian calendar. And again, I wanted to just get this information to you so that you could share it with others. And that's how things work, by word of mouth, just by sharing it, getting it out there, that we are a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. And as we're going into the year 2020, the 5780, which will begin in March or April this coming spring, is when the genuine Hebrew calendar of God will shift. It's not the rabbinical teaching, at least not to our understanding of the Torah, the Bible, the scriptures. There was never a changing of a year in the civil calendar. God's calendar is very agricultural. He told us the first month of the new year is in Nisan. So that's when we change and shift to 5780. Now, for those of you who follow the different calendars, you know what we're referring to. So as we understand the word right now, it's we are still in 5779, and we are coming to 5780 in the Hebrew calendar this spring. But in our Gregorian calendar, well, in two nights, Tuesday night, tomorrow night, we will be celebrating and ushering in the new year, 2020, with different vessels that are going to be bringing forth words that they're picking up from the Lord. We're getting people already telling us they're getting a fresh download from the Holy Spirit about the days ahead. And we're looking on the internet. People are already bringing forth the prophetic word for 2020. And again, we're not searching for tea leaves, and we're not just trying to be solical in our, you know, mental powers to say what's ahead of us. But we do believe the Holy Spirit reveals things to come. That we absolutely do believe. And it's our job to really press into the Holy Spirit and hear him. So we wanted you to know again, I did, that this radio broadcast, if you're just talking radio, on the internet, we are a worldwide internet radio station. Anywhere in the world, people can go to www.omegaradio.org. That's omegaradio.org. And they could listen to our radio broadcast, not only Monday through Friday, our live broadcast, but again, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we compile information all over the world, and we put some of the very best conversations. And so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, while you're out there, you could go to www.omegaradio.org and you could hear broadcasts all day long. And so as far as blogtalkradio.com and then the /XMan777, that is Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And there's a telephone number that you could actually call into the broadcast and be part of our community, congregation, if you will. And that number is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. And we welcome everybody. Call in, participate, share things that we haven't even been talking about if they're relevant and important to the times we're in. We always want to encourage that kind of conversation. And every once in a while, I'll actually bring some people onto the broadcast and do some interviews. We've had some wonderful interviews along the way. And hopefully in the year 2020, we'll have some good interviews as well. But it's always about the voice of many waters. And the purpose of these platforms, whether it's on YouTube, video, or whether it's on Omega Radio or Blog Talk Radio, the purpose is to get the word out to as many people as we possibly can that we believe that there are signs of the times when we look through the biblical lens that are happening everywhere. And that should be a sign to us to be making our preparations and getting ready for things that are going on. We refuse to look at the world for our wisdom. In other words, if the world is happy, if the stadiums are full, if everybody's having a big party, we're not looking at that for our wisdom. We are looking through the biblical lens. And when we look through the biblical lens and we see the world in its present condition, well, the concern level is elevated, and we are urgent about preparing for what we believe we're going to be going through. So that's what we do. And I want to share with you some pretty rich things. Grab some notes from yesterday. I started with a prophetic kind of an understanding that I shared with the body of Christ yesterday, and I want to develop the thought today. And so what I would like to do for the next several broadcasts that we're going to have in these days ahead is get into the meat of this particular message. And, you know, what I love about teaching this message is that the more we get into it, the more we marinate it, the more we study it, the more we break it down, the more of the fragrance of the meaning of the message really begins to come up into our understanding. Very few times will people hear a message once and get the full meaning of it, right? So I'm going to do something today that I believe is a portion, a small little part to what God is revealing for the days that are in. But I did get something, and it happened in my spirit, and I wrote it down yesterday, and it was like a little tiny nugget, and I began to develop the thought, and I want to develop it more for you today. And the scripture that I came up with in my spirit, this is what God put in my heart, was Proverbs chapter 29. Now, for those that heard the message yesterday, We're not going to stop where we left off yesterday. We're going to actually begin our study today, and you're going to know what that study is in just a moment. So what I believe God is saying to the church, and you have to be the judge of this, and you have to, you know, get your spiritual senses going and your discernment and your ability to be judicial in all these things. And I want to be very careful, and I want to stay with the Word of God, and I don't want to just put things together out of the imagination, okay? I want to stay focused on this. But what I found yesterday was coming out of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, a very simple verse, but profound in its meaning. And what it says, and this is what this would be the prophetic word for 2020, okay? This is what I am starting with. And I know God's going to download more, and there's people everywhere getting something. So we're told in Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, the very first thing that I want to express about this verse when we begin to break it down, I want you to know that we are not a people in the new covenant under the law of the Old Testament. We are not under that law. I do not believe the 613 jots and tittles of the law are something we need to be concerned about. I do believe that when we walk in love for God and love for our neighbor, that we will wind up fulfilling basically every aspect of the law, but we're not under the law. We know that. We are under grace. We have a covenant of grace. However, when we look at the word law, okay, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, that word law is the Torah. And when you really stop and think about the Torah, you're talking about instruction. Now, that's talking about the Decalogue or the first five books of the Bible or the Pentateuch, or the Decalogue being the 10, I guess it is. And so there's tremendous precepts and ordinances and all of that. But really, the word Torah in its root is instruction. So happy is he that keeps the instructions. Now, Solomon is writing this, and here's what it looks like for us today. Here's what it looks like. Where there is no vision, okay? The word vision there is the kazon, the kazon. And that word vision literally means, at the very beginning of the word, revelation. Revelation. Make sure you write this down. Revelation or oracle. In other words, a revelation that is spoken, or an oracle, a word spoken, a revelation. It also means a prophecy, or to prophesy. Where there is no prophesying, when there is no prophecy or a foretelling of events to come, remember, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to tell us things to come. We're going to read that in John chapter 16 in just a moment. But again, the word vision, where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, where there is no perception, where there is no prophesying or prophecy, what happens? The people perish. All right, the word perish, let's get into that for just a little bit, is the para, the para. And then I'll start putting this together and we're going to move on. So the word perish is to para, and it literally means to loosen. So where there is no revelation, when there is no mental insight to the purposes of God, where there is no prophetic word, where there is no prophesying, when there is no prophecy, the people will loosen, or they will dismiss, or they will avoid, and it actually says they will go back. And you know, and I know, that in the last days, there will be a great falling away from the faith. We know that. We know that the love of many will wax cold. We know that people are going to turn back from following the Lord. We know this. I mean, there are so many scriptures that tell us this truth. So when we look in light of this verse, where there's no prophecy, where there's no revelation, I want you to get those two words. That's why I'm going over it several times. Where there is no prophecy, where there is no revelation that brings about a mental understanding or a visual or insight, you know, the revelation that is revealed or the word of God that is spoken should develop thoughts in our mind about what God is saying, right? That's what words do. They create pictures so that we could see. So where there is no revelation, where there is no prophecy, the people will actually loosen themselves from God. They will actually go back from God. They will actually begin to refuse the things of God. They will dismiss the things of God. They will avoid the things of God. And people will go back into something that's at best mediocre, mere religion, rather than an ongoing relationship with God through the Spirit and through His Son, Jesus Christ. So where there is no revelation, where there is no prophecy, where there is no oracle or word spoken, the people will perish. But he that keeps the law. Now, I want that phrase is very important because it's going to go right along with what we're going to talk about today. Here it said, he who keeps the law, the Torah, the old covenant, you know, because that's where it was written. Happy is he. But let's talk for a minute. God has given you and I, as new covenant believers, it's been available for 2,000 years, he's given us a prophecy. He's given us a revelation. It's literally called the Book of Revelation. And five times in the Book of Revelation, if you've heard us teach it, you know it, but I'm going to go over it again. Five times the Book of Revelation is called a prophecy. It is a prophecy. And in verse 3, you're going to see a divine connection here. Look at verse 3, just for example. It says blessed, and that word blessed means happy, fortunate, okay? To be envied, literally. So blessed is he that reads and they that hear. So one's reading with understanding, they're hearing with understanding the words of this prophecy. So the first time of the mention of the Book of Revelation being a prophecy is right there in Revelation 1:3. So blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and do what? And keep. And that's what it said in Proverbs 29:18. But he that keeps the law. Well, rather than keeping the law of the Old Testament, blessing is on those that keep those things which are written therein. In other words, the things that are written in the prophecy, the Book of Revelation, is a prophecy. So when we put these things together, just as Solomon was writing, where there is no vision, where there is no prophecy, where there is no revelation, where there is no oracle, the people perish. But happy is the man that keeps the law. Or in this case, here is a revelation, here is a prophecy, and happy, blessed, and fortunate are they who keep the things that are written in this prophecy. Now, why do I say all that? Well, this year, the year 2020, this is the little part that I believe God is revealing, will be the year wherein sides will be taken and decisions made. Consequences for actions will be swift and not so subtle. Many will depart from the faith. That's where the people perish. Why do they perish? There's no vision. There's no prophecy. There's no revelation. There's no oracle. So many will depart from the faith while multitudes embrace false doctrines of demons and believe lies. We also know in the Word of God that in the last days there will be doctrines of demons. There will be false Christ, false prophets. There will be false teachers. There's going to be a tremendous amount of falsity, and people that have let go of the prophetic Word of God, the revelation, where there is no revelation, where there is no prophetic, where there is no oracle of God, they're going to be estranged from the purpose of God, and they're going to begin to believe lies, and devils are going to be teaching doctrines that are demonic, that produce no transformation. Or doctrines that tickle the ears and scratch the back and create feelings and emotions in the solical realm, but have no spiritual potency or power to change the mind and direct the mind in the purpose of God, where the wisdom of God will be promoted. Okay, this is so beautifully simple. But then others who are not going to be entertaining doctrines of demons, they're going to be tuned into the prophetic word of God, which is the book of Revelation. See, what I'm wanting to get across is that God is saying that this is the time for his people to bury themselves and immerse themselves in the book of Revelation, for therein is the prophetic word of God that goes before you, so that you're not going to get caught in the deception and darkness that's descending upon the minds of the masses. You're going to know the truth. In other words, this prophecy, the book of Revelation, is going to be your vanguard. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, others will be more rooted and grounded than ever before, and will know all things concerning the world around them and heaven's plan for their journey. So you're rooted and grounded, but this year you're going to be more rooted and more grounded than you've ever been before in your life, because you're going to tune in, you're going to immerse yourself, you're going to study the book of Revelation, because it is God's end time prophecy that is given to an end time people to be able to navigate through the times that we're living in. Now, there's a lot of books out there, from Nostradamus to every kind of pagan society you want to go to. You could study every religion, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to drive you crazy and further away from God. But God has literally given to us the book of Revelation, the prophecy. Now, I shared with you that five times, not just once in Revelation 1:3, but five times we are told in Revelation 1:3, Revelation 22, chapter 22, verse 7, Revelation chapter 22, verse 8, I believe it is. Let me just read it to you, okay? And this is one of the things I have to do. I can't just leave these things floating around. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. I know this is a fact, so let's start right here. Here's what it says. Revelation 22, verse 7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps." There's that keeping again that we saw in Revelation 1:3. "Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." There it is. The blessing again is on those who keep, not the Torah, not the law of the old covenant, but keeps the blessing, the sayings of the prophecy of this book. God is giving his people a prophecy and a revelation. Then it says in verse 8, I believe it is, "And I, John, saw these things and heard these things." Wait, 7:10. No, it looks like verse 10. Verse 10, I think it is. And verse 10 says, "And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And what did he say again? "Seal not the sayings." Now, this prophecy, if you'll go back to Daniel chapter 12, you'll remember that God told Daniel to seal up the words that were written in the book until the time of the end. We'll read that. Daniel chapter 12. Seal up the words of this prophecy, the book, until the times of the end. Well, you'll notice that this prophecy has seven seals. And here he's saying, unseal it. Why? Because it's the time of the end. So seal not the sayings of the prophecy. That's three times. Revelation 1:3, Revelation 22:7, Revelation 22:10, and then in Revelation 22, verse 18, we read these words, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book." Okay? "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book." And verse 19 says, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from him his part out of the book of life." Five times in your Bible, the book of Revelation is called a prophecy. It is a unveiling. It is a revealing of things to come. We're going to see that when we start studying the book. So the point is, you need to know that there's some evidences, because we are in the end times, that sides are being taken. I think you're witnessing it in the impeachment thing that's going on, where the country is being separated, sides are being taken. And remember the word judgment. There are three Greek words for the word judgment. What are they? Krema, krino, and krisis. And in every one of those words, what they ultimately mean is judicial separation. Judgment separates the wheat from the chaff, the wheat, the sheep from the goats, all right? Righteousness from unrighteousness, truth from error. Judgment, the righteous judgment of God in every one of those Greek words, is intended to separate God's people from what is unrighteous to what is righteous. It's all about separation. The word krisis is where we get our English word crises. So when we say judgment is on our land, it's not far-fetched to understand, yes, there's judgment, there's crises. Is there not a crisis in America today? And the nations around the world, you're seeing it grow everywhere. But that's another story. So let's get back. Without a revelation, without a prophecy, without an oracle, a word spoken, there is no what? Or the people perish. So in other words, without this, the people loosen, they let go, they go back, they refuse, they resist the purposes of God, they get involved in something else, doctrines of demons, fairy tales, all of these things. The time is coming for separation. 2020 is going to be an amazing time of separation. It's going to be not just a stretching and the pulling, but it's going to snap. The division is going to snap, according to God's word. Okay, we're going to continue to look through God's word. Now, you don't want to perish. You don't want to fall away. You don't want to come under the delusion of, Lord, Lord, open unto me. I never knew you. Depart from me, he says. We don't ever want to go there. So what is the mystery? It's in the book of Revelation. You are being told, someone is sharing with you that you're going to find answers for your life in the book of Revelation this year. That it's going to serve as a vanguard. A vanguard, okay? Now, let me just go through a few more of my notes. The God has given us a revelation called the Book of Revelation. I shared that with you, which is an end of time prophecy. We shared that. Get that rooted. The meaning and mystery of the book has been concealed for the most part. But the dawn of a new day has begun, and the first rays of divine light are beginning to shine on this once concealed mystery, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the source of wisdom, guidance, and direction for God's people living in the last days. So immerse yourself in the book and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, as Jesus said he would. And one verse is John 16:13, where we read these words. Jesus speaking said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Wow. Now, the Holy Spirit of truth is available to every one of us, and I trust that we've received the Holy Spirit of truth, and we're learning to follow the Holy Spirit of truth, because we could get into our own wisdom, we could get into our own logic, we can get into our own head knowledge, our soul, psychical powers, and all of that is contrary to the Holy Spirit of truth. And what we need to do is dismiss from ourselves in our human pride all of our intellect, all of our reason, all of our knowledge. Listen, the age of reason brought more destruction in man's ego and pride than any other time. It's just crazy. But anyways, we abandon ourselves from our logic, our reason, and we lean on and we trust and we rely on and we hold on to the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us and to show us things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit always works with the Word of God. So here you have a book in your Bible called the Book of Revelation, which is a prophecy, but the meaning of it has been concealed because it's been sealed up until the time of the end. But now the divine rays of light are coming from heaven. The Spirit of light and truth is opening the meaning of the book, and the Holy Spirit wants you to read it so he could reveal things to you so that this revelation prophecy will keep you out of error. It will keep you out of darkness. It will keep you from falling prey to the deception that's going on all over the world. The devil who deceived the whole world. You want to be kept from that, then keep the sayings of the prophecy in your heart, in your mind, so that as you're going through life, you're looking at things, they appear to be wonderful. They appear the whole world's going to worship things coming down the pike, but you need to see, because of this prophecy in the Spirit of truth, the reality. I kept using the word vanguard because God put that word in my spirit yesterday, and I didn't even know what it meant, quite frankly, so I looked it up. The word vanguard means this. All right, so we're talking about the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. All right, so by reading and understanding the book of Revelation, you will know and understand the world around you and will not be deceived while the whole world is coming under the spell and power of the Antichrist and all trickery and deception. Now, I said that in my own way. These are my notes, and I think that's very clear. Now, the blessing, again, is for those who keep the words of the prophecy. So here's what a vanguard is. A vanguard derives, or the vanguard derives from the traditional division of a medieval army into three battles or wards. The van, the main or the middle, number two, and the rear, number three. The term vanguard originates with the medieval French avant-garde, i.e. the advance guard. So I've been saying, and God is saying, that this book of Revelation prophecy is going to be a vanguard because the truth that the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you out from it is going to go before you. It's going to be a vanguard. So now the word vanguard means the advance guard. And listen to this. The vanguard would lead the line of march and would deploy first on the field of battle, either in front of the other wards or to the right if they stood in line. So this vanguard goes before, it's deployed first on the field of battle. Isn't it awesome to know truth goes before you, so by the time you get into something, you already know the truth of the matter? We need that. We need to know when we step into something that truth has gone before us to expose every lie. But watch this. Now, it has a number of functions, the vanguard, including seeking out the enemy. What is the enemy? Lies. He's the father of lies. Truth, our vanguard, goes before us, seeks out the enemy, and secures ground in advance of the main force. So we, the body of Christ, the main force of people coming in our journey, truth has gone before us in the person of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. They have exposed the enemy of lies and deception, and now we come in and occupy the territory and stand in the grace of God in truth at a time when the whole world is coming under the deception. So how radically effective, and what is this awesome thing God is telling us that he wants you and I to immerse ourselves like a baptism in the book of Revelation? Now, you will be tempted at different times to give up on the book of Revelation, because the powers of darkness will do all in their power to persuade you to back off and will insist that you cannot really understand the message. So you're going to start reading the book of Revelation from verse 1, chapter 1, and you're going to go through, but you're going to ask the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be going through, and some things are going to seem so strange and complicated and hard to understand that the devil's literally going to come and say, back off, you'll never understand this. And then he's going to suggest that those who claim to know it are at best terribly short-sighted. In other words, when people are going to teach it, they're going to say, there are going to be different teachers teaching different things. And people are going to say, well, there's so much confusion, why read it? Do you know that's exactly what's happening today? Most churches won't touch the book. But when the light, the divine light of God begins to shine on the meaning and brings forth the secret of the meaning of the book, things are going to start making sense to our spiritual mind. God is going to reveal things to us. And I believe that with all of my heart. I think this is a very special time, and that even God could choose a speck of dust with a mouth that's submitted to give truth, okay, in the sense of things. So it's not true. So don't back off. You can read and hear the message by the anointing and know the truth of the message and become strong and secure with it as a vanguard around your life. Okay? This is the confidence you need to have. This is what you need to walk in. Now, I want to stop there. And I want to get into the book of Revelation. And I hope that I have presented the first fruits of a prophetic word for the year ahead of us with some direction. I believe God did it. I really do believe God gave this pearl. That when I started reading Proverbs 29:18, and it said, where there is no vision, and I saw the meaning of that word meant revelation, prophecy, spiritual pictures in the mind, insight, I knew exactly where this was going. That God was saying to his people and to the teachers, really immerse yourself. Go back in and restudy this book and present it to the body. And as people are studying it for themselves, God is going to do something supernatural. And every little nugget we get, we're going to put inside our hearts. And we're going to carry that truth into the days that lie ahead. And that truth is going to go before us and expose everything that's false. The greatest trickery of the devil will be exposed when we have this word downloaded in us, this prophecy. I know this is what God is saying. And our blessing is going to come from hearing it, reading it, understanding it, keeping it, guarding it. Get it in your heart this year. And I'm going to help. And I'm going to, because I'm going to break it down. Now, before I go any further, because it's only Monday, before I go any further, I'd like to give opportunity for anybody that's listening to the broadcast right now to call in. Maybe there's something that you would like to share. I'm seeing a lot of great people over here that are on the YouTube. I want to welcome everybody. That's right. I love it. They're saying some really neat things. So any questions or comments yet? Or should we just dive into the book of Revelation and start it? Or should we wait for the new year? Should we wait for the first day of the first month in the Gregorian calendar being January 1st? What should we do? I could start right now. I'd rather, because I've got just a few minutes left, maybe what I could do, there's nobody calling in, but you're listening. God bless you. If you do want to call, press 1 on your dial pad. What I will do is let's get into a little bit of the study then. And let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to show you something. I want to show you something. And this is not to boast in anything that I'm doing. But I just want to show you that the Word of God, this book, is so marked up with commentary and notes and cross-references. But let's get into it. You ready? Here's what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And I think it's important to understand the meaning of revelation. But I want you to see it the way it really is, okay? Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. All right. Well, let's stop right there and unpack it because it's massive. There are actually two paths, maybe more, but two very particular paths from the very first two words, the revelation, and then the other two, three, of Jesus Christ. So those five words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, create ideas that one's going to the left, one's going to the right, and we've got to understand it, okay? Because some people say, well, there it is. This whole book is the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. But other people continued to read and said, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So another group says, well, this revelation is about things that must shortly come to pass. And then they surmise in their mind, well, shortly come to pass, that must have happened 2,000 years ago. And so all these views began to develop. But let's walk through it, okay? And let's you make your own decision. But here's what I found. The word revelation. Okay, in the actual notes, the word revelation is the apocalypsis. We know that. And the apocalypsis literally means a laying bare, literally making naked. Ha ha, the clothes are off. The curtain is taken away. The veil is gone. Here it is. It is a disclosure of truth in the definition, okay? In the apocalypsis, it's a disclosure of truth. And then it means instruction. Wow. The revelation is a disclosure of truth. It's a laying bare. It's making naked. In other words, all veils, all concealment is gone. And it is instruction concerning things before unknown. Ah, you see, when the book is sealed and it's shut off, you could read it all you want to. But you're never going to come up with a real secret, mysterious meaning until God is ready to shine light on it. Would you agree? I agree. So this revelation literally means to disclose truth, to make naked, to make bare. It means instruction concerning things before unknown. And it's also, in the definition, used of events by which things or states of persons hitherto withdrawn from view are made visible to all. So he's bringing it out for all to see that have an ear to hear, an eye to see, and a heart to understand, okay? That's the word apocalypsis. It also means appearing, all right? The appearing, the coming, the lighten or enlightenment, manifestation. But what is being manifested? Well, here's the take I take. Man, I know Jesus is going to be unveiled, revealed, made very clear to the nations of the earth, so I'm good with that. But I also know it's referring to instructions about things that are coming that were not known before. So the manifestation, the revelation, the unveiling is of both Jesus Christ and things that are to come. Now we get rid of the argument. Now we don't have to fight and divide. Both are true. There is going to be a revelation of Jesus Christ, an unveiling of Christ, a being laid bare. No more veils over Jesus. We're going to see him. We're going to know him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They will perceive him, recognize him, know him intrinsically, inwardly. I'm good with that, to know him. Paul said Christ was revealed in him, but it's also a revelation of things to come. So we're good with that, right? Great. Now let's go back. Here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, now, which God gave unto him. But before I get there, here's a note that I wrote down several months ago concerning this, that revelation, this book, this instruction, the things that are about to be revealed, this prophecy is a warning to the churches or the church of what is coming to destroy them. When this prophecy was written, it had the intention, because the first letters to the seven churches representing the entirety of the church age, these letters that were written were to prepare the church for what was coming. So there's an urgency in the book of Revelation, this prophecy. When this prophecy was going to arrive to the generation that would be the generation to whom it was speaking of, it would create an urgency for them to prepare. Now, the church has been in crisis for 2,000 years, quite frankly. But at the end of the end of the end of the ages, which I'm going to show you here in just a moment, if you'll be patient with me. So this is a warning. Get this downloaded in your spirit, and I guarantee God will confirm this to your heart. The book of Revelation is not a casual read for the Bible student. It is a prophecy warning you, accelerating you to get ready for what's coming. And it's going to show you, it's going to unveil the things that are coming, like a beast, a one world government, a false religion. I'm telling you, there's a lot that's coming that this book wants to get you ready for, especially if we are that end time generation. Now, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's an urgent message for the generation to whom this is going to be revealed, which God gave unto him. So God gave unto Jesus a revelation. For what reason? So that Jesus would show it to his servants. Now, the word servants here are the doulos. The doulos servants are not casual servants. These are the slaves, the bond slaves that have no life of their own. These servants were so sold out to Christ, they had nothing. It was like the Apostle Paul. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So these doulos servants were acceptable by God, to God, to receive this revelation. And the word of, by the way, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that word of there in the Greek actually means belonging to. Belonging to. So you might read the revelation belonging to Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave something that belongs to Jesus for the purpose of showing unto his doulos servants things which must. Okay, now we got to stop because I want to break it down completely. The word show, he gave it to the dacnuo, all right? To show, God gave it to Jesus in order to expose to the eyes, to give evidence or proof, to show by words or by teaching. This is the dikinuo, okay? And it just literally means that. Expose to the eyes, give evidence or proof of a thing, and we just saw things that are coming, and to show by words or by teaching. So the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, the eyes of our faith being opened. He's not talking about our optical eyes, which may be seeing what's going on here when we get it first inwardly, but he's showing, he's exposing to the understanding, the perception faculty of our existence. He's showing it to the servants. Why? Because the servants are going to teach it to their people, right? We know that's going to happen. So he's showing it to the servants, the things which must. And that word must is important. It's the da. And the word da there actually means must needs be. It talks about the necessariness of it. In other words, it is necessary. So it was necessary for God to give to Jesus the revelation of things to come so that Jesus would give it to the servants and show them, because it's necessary, all right? It's necessary that this information got out, the things which must or of necessity shortly come to pass. Now, these four words, shortly come to pass, are imperative to understand. We have to get this. Because if we don't, in our English thinking, we're thinking immediately, well, shortly come to pass, this was written 2,000 years ago, it must have happened way back there, confirming preterist doctrine, but not necessarily. Look at the word shortly. Now, I have my notes on shortly, and shortly literally means, and I'll give you the definitions, but it's en tacos. Now, I learned something. I've written this down. I've had this for years, but the word, the Greek words, en tacos means with speed. All right, let me give you the actual meaning of the word shortly. In the first place, it is the N, E-N. And that word E-N literally means by or with. In, by, or with. All right, so the second part of the word, shortly, comes from the tacos. Now, here's what I learned. This isn't talking about going to a Mexican restaurant eating tacos. It's talking about the tachometer. When you hear this word tacos, it's the tachometer on a car or a vessel where it involves speed. And the word actually means, tacos, actually means quickness or speed. Ah, a brief space of time. This is important. So the definition for the word shortly is with speed. So he's revealing to his servants the things, the events, which necessarily they must shortly or with necessity, they will with speed come to pass. Now, what does the word come to pass mean? That is the genomai, the genomai. And that word literally means to come into existence. So in other words, the events that are going to be revealed are going to come into existence at the right time with speed. It's almost like waiting for 2,000 years for a prophecy to be fulfilled, and people say that's a long time, but suddenly, with speed, it comes into existence. It also means, listen to this, that word there, the genomai, come to pass, to appear in history upon the world stage. So let's put it together, all right? Let's put it together. We have a prophecy, a revelation, an unveiling of events and the person of Christ. We're good with that. But more so, show the servants the things which of necessity are going to come. Now, why are all these things going to come? Why is it necessary? Because they're all going to fulfill the purpose of God. But show the servants the things which necessarily will come with speed on the world stage. On the world stage, there's that word again, come to pass. With the world stage, they're going to come into existence. Okay? What does that look like? Now, they're going to come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. There's more I want to get out here. So, God is telling us that the prophecy, the revelation of the things that he wants to show us are going to come with speed, like a tachometer redlining, right? Going to go really fast. They're going to come with speed on the world stage when everything is ready. It doesn't suggest 2,000 years ago. It says when everything is ready. Give you an example, a biblical example. For thousands of years, there was a prophecy in from the book of Genesis all the way through Malachi of the coming of Messiah. 4,000 years people waited for the Messiah. People became impatient, and so false messiahs would rise, and they would lead people after themselves, and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't the real Messiah. But the Bible tells us in Galatians that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God sent his Son. In other words, in heaven, in the Kairos moment, in the timeless realm, where there is no beginning and end, in the timeless Kairos of God, means the dispensation of the fullness of time at the ripe season when everything was set from God's perspective, then God sent his son. He had been prophesied of 4,000 years ago. Well, the book of Revelation prophecy is the same way. Sure, it was written 2,000 years ago. It's fresh off the press. And for 2,000 years, people have thought, well, maybe we're the generation. Maybe we're the generation. But there are many things that are happening in the world today that confirm that right now, the world stage has been set for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And God is opening it up now because it's the right time. And so the events that are revealed in the prophecy are now releasing and coming at high speed. And that's what he said would happen. It would be with speed that all these events would come on the world stage at the end. But it doesn't stop there. It does not stop there. Now, let's go a little bit further. And let's go to, there's a word here. That word, by the way, must, in my notes, I had this written down. The word must is the da, which means necessary. And in that definition, it also means to be brought on by circumstances or conduct of others toward us. He's writing this to the church. The conduct of the world around us is going to begin to press in persecution, tribulation. He tells us all about this. And it is being brought on of necessity because the way that things are going, these events. Now, verse 2, and I won't spend a lot of time here, but it says, when he sent and he signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And that's what I wanted to get to. The time is at hand. Now, the word time and the word at hand. It's talking about the word time there. The time is the kairos. It's not the chronos, the linear time. It's the kairos, the God time. And this word time is a definite time or a fixed time in the economy of God. It is a set time or an opportune time. That's what the word kairos means. And that word, the time, is at hand. The time is the kairos. So it's, you can't look at it linearly 2,000 years ago. It's when everything is ready, when everything is set. It's going to come with speed at the right time in the timing of God. But what's going to happen? The time is at hand. And that word at hand there is the Greek word eges, and it literally means to squeeze or throttle. Paul write in Romans chapter 9 that in the last days he would shorten or he would cut short the work? That literally gave the same impression of a bottleneck where all the stuff poured into the bottle has been going on and on and on, but suddenly you come to the bottleneck, and what happens? It's a sudden completion. It just fills up. And this prophecy is the filling up of time. It's going to come just like a bottleneck at the right time. Now, we need to go back. Where am I at here? I'm out of time. All right, so I'm going to stop right there for today. It's 9:58 on my clock. God's telling you and I, get into the book of Revelation, study it, break it down, get your concordances, do your work. Don't just have people teach you. Do your work, and then when you listen to other people teach, let it confirm create questions in your heart. We'll continue to go through it. We'll break it down. I think it's absolutely amazing. I hope you do too. And this is your vanguard. Get into the book of Revelation, okay? Study it, break it down. I'm going to leave it there right now. And we'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Patricia Joy will be joining me. But right now, after this radio broadcast on omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion taking place. And I would wish that you would get there and learn and involve yourself with those conversations as well. well. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I believe 2020 is going to be an amazing year. God's given you something. I hope you'll sink your teeth into it and begin to enjoy the juice that you're going to get out of the book of Revelation. Till we meet again, shalom. God bless you. I've got to get over to Omega Radio to get that going, and here we go.